The next topic is also on drought stress effects on cotton. The topic is the effect of irrigation during cotton squaring on lint yield and plant growth characteristics. The talk will be presented by Seth Bourne. He's from University of Georgia. Seth.
Okay, thank you for the introduction. My name is Seth Bird, and I'm going to be sharing with you my our study on the effects of irrigation during cotton squaring on lint yield and plant growth characteristics. So to start off with, why are we focusing on irrigation? Due to climatic conditions such as unpredictable rainfall patterns and episodic drought, coupled with increased regulations regarding ag water use, there's been increased focus placed on research that deals with irrigation. In particular, gaining more knowledge about the impact of water supply for specific growth stages can aid in predicting the effect of shortcomings occurring at different periods during the growing season, allowing us to predict those results, also prevent excessive irrigation, maximize yield, and overall create a more efficient irrigation system that can alleviate issues caused by environmental or regulatory concerns. So when we look at previous work that's been done in this area, growth stage specific in cotton, a large portion of the work is focused on stress or a deficit occurs during the flowering or bulb development period. Irrigation during squaring has been studied to a lesser extent, most likely due to the fact that the flowering and bulb development period are of longer duration and are typically of higher water demand. However, when we do look at work that's been done in squaring, we've seen that there's been increases in main stem node number, increased growth prior to first flower, and increased yields when we compare cotton that is supplied with adequate water during squaring to a deficit during the squaring period. And overall, the mechanism for increased yields is that adequate irrigation during squaring increases the number of potential fruiting sites that can support blooms and then eventually bulbs. And so this is the result of, or this results in the increased yield. This is a table from a paper by Rona et al. And this is the showing the correlation between water supply and different yield components at different growth stages. So going down the vertical axis is different growth stages of cotton, and then on the top are the different yield components. And so highlighted in red is the squaring stage. And we see that there's the highest correlation in squaring among water supply and yield characteristics, greater than any other of the growth stages. So the objectives of this study were to quantify the value of irrigation during squaring in terms of plant growth and yield. We also want to determine if an early maturing variety could utilize more water during squaring to help increase its notable white flower and potential fruiting sites, thus delaying cutout. And also to look at a later maturing variety to see if irrigation is necessary for later maturing varieties, as these are typically more able to recover from stress periods. And so overall, we want to determine the impact of irrigation during squaring on the development of the potential fruiting sites and then the resulting impact on yield. Our hypothesis was that meeting crop water requirement during the squaring period will increase those potential fruiting sites and thus lead to a yield increase compared to water deficit during squaring. And we also hypothesized that an early maturing variety could utilize increased irrigation during squaring, while this necessarily wouldn't be true for a later maturing variety. So this study was conducted in 2012 and 2013 at the Stripling Irrigation Research Park in Camilla, Georgia. Our treatments consisted of two cultivars, Fibermax 1944, which is an early maturing variety, and Phytogen 499, which is a later maturing variety. There were four irrigation treatments included in the study based off the University of Georgia checkbook recommendations, and I will cover these in just a minute. And our irrigation treatments were applied using an overhead lateral sprinkler irrigation system. There were three replications laid out in a randomized complete block design. So this is a chart showing our 100% UGA checkbook recommendations for cotton irrigation. So it's in centimeters per week. And on our x-axis, we have the different weeks of the growth stage. So we start with squaring and go all the way through 8 weeks of bloom. And then on the y-axis is the centimeters per week. So this study focused on just irrigation during squaring. So that's those first three columns. And you can see here that it's recommended that 2.5 centimeters of water is applied per week to cotton in Georgia during the squaring period. So this is one of our treatments. Another treatment we wanted to look at was applying more irrigation during squaring. So we took that 100% recommendation during squaring and doubled it. So in this treatment, we have 5 centimeters of water applied during squaring. However, as soon as we hit our first bloom, we returned this treatment back to the 100%. So the only difference between this treatment and the 100% treatment is those weeks during squaring. Additionally, we wanted to look at a treatment that supplied no irrigation during squaring. So same sort of pattern, we have just the 3 weeks during squaring that's different. So we have no irrigation during those 3 weeks. And then as soon as we hit our first bloom, this treatment's resumed, it returns to the 100% UGA checkbook levels. There's also a dryland treatment included in this study. So the irrigation applications were split into 2 applications per week. This just allowed for ease of operations to prevent runoff and to allow adjustment for rainfall. We measured plant height and nodule white flower every 2 weeks, starting at first bloom. We also quantified lint yield, lint percentage, and HVI fiber quality measurements. However, in this presentation, I'm only going to present lint yield data. And the means were separated by fissure protected LSD at a P of less than or equal to 0.05. So this is just a visual of the plots we have. On the top, that's the early maturing variety, and on the bottom, that's the later maturing variety. In particular, the far right pictures on both rows are the treatments that received more irrigation during squaring. Just comparing those pictures to the ones to the left of them, which is 100% checkbook, you can see the big variety differences between the early maturing variety and the later maturing variety in terms of this amount of vegetation on the plant. So getting to the results, this is the 2012 total water applied. And so just to break down the color schemes, it will be the same for all the tables. The orange bar is our treatment that supplied more water during irrigation and then was returned to the, or more water during squaring and then was returned to the 100% checkbook. The blue bar is the 100% checkbook season long. The red bar is the treatment that supplied no irrigation during squaring and then was returned to the 100% checkbook at first bloom. And then the green bar is dry land. The white dashes you see that correspond to each bar are our targets for that week. So that was what our treatments called to be put on. So you can see in weeks 4, 5, and 6 of bloom, we overshot our targets due to excessive rainfall. But again, we were focusing just on squaring, but that's just to give the breakdown of that graph. So this is our plant heights for our later maturing variety, starting at first bloom on the bottom, and then every 2 weeks up to 6 weeks after first bloom. And so you can see that in our in this late maturing variety, our treatment that supplied more irrigation during squaring has significantly taller plants season long than all the other treatments. And I also want to point out that at our initial measurement at first bloom, that the treatment that supplied no irrigation during squaring was significantly lower than the 100% checkbook. But after irrigation was returned at first bloom to 100% checkbook for that treatment, there was a period of recovery where you can see after the second week of bloom that it's no different than a 100% checkbook. The same general pattern was seen in our early maturing variety where we had a significantly taller plant season long for the treatment that supplied more irrigation during squaring. And again, that same sort of recovery pattern for the treatment that supplied no irrigation during squaring but then was returned at first bloom to 100% of the checkbook. Now we look at nodule white flower. This is for the later maturing variety, and again we see during the first 3 measurement periods significantly higher values in our treatment that supplied more irrigation during squaring, and that same recovery pattern is seen in this data set too, where we have lower values initially for our no irrigation during squaring treatment, but then that recovery period exists still, and then down to the last week we had no significant differences. And this is generally true, again, for our early maturing variety, with the exception of the recovery period. There was no differences from the initial measurement for our treatments, for our no irrigation during squaring treatment. And now moving on to the lint yield. So there's a few things to point out. First of all, we didn't see any differences between our treatments that supplied more irrigation during squaring and the 100% checkbook. And both of these treatments were significantly higher yielding than the treatments that applied no irrigation pre-bloom or during squaring and then returned to the checkbook or the dry land. And it's also important to point out that even though we returned our irrigation in that red column, at first flower it was returned to 100% of the checkbook. There was no difference between that treatment and the dry land treatment. So when we go back to that water, the water applied graph, Again, focusing on those first three columns, because that's our treatment period. We see that during the first and third weeks of squaring, we had rainfall, which put us over our targeted amount of irrigation or water applied for those weeks. So the only week during squaring that we actually hit our treatment goals was that second week. So that one week where we didn't have any rainfall and we didn't irrigate treatments appears to have driven the results that we saw in yield and plant growth. Now if we move on to 2013, this is again the total water applied for that year. Same breakdown for the colors and the targeted irrigation each week. But I do want to point out that in 2013 we had 4 weeks of squaring. So it was a wetter year and it was a cooler year. So plant growth rates were reduced, and so squaring actually stretched into 4 weeks in 2013. And looking at the results, we see this is the plant heights for our later mature variety. Some initial differences in plant heights for this variety, but after that, no significance. And we see the same general thing for the early mature variety. There were a few differences in 4 weeks after the first bloom, but again, two of the four measurement periods were not significant. Pretty much the same general pattern for our noseville white flower in 2013. So this is the later maturing where we initially have some differences. After that, no significance among the treatments. And again, with our early maturing variety where we have some initial differences, but none after that. Moving on to lint yield, we see that we have no differences in lint yield in 2013. So across all treatments and all varieties. So moving again back to the water applied graph, we can see again that during the squaring period, 3 out of the 4 weeks, we received rainfall that put us way over our targets for the two treatments that weren't supposed to get any water applied during that time. So we still have the 1 week, week two, where we didn't get any rainfall and we actually hit our target goals. But again, if you look at the fourth week of squaring, there's such excessive rainfall that fell during that week that may have negated any differences that may have been found during that second week. And again, there was just excessive amounts of rainfall in this year, which may have just teased out any, or may have negated any results we might have seen from the 1 week we hit our targets. So in conclusion, when we look at a year like 2012, where there's the potential for drought stress to occur, delaying irrigation until first bloom could result in yield penalties. And again, in 2012, we saw signs of recovery in plant growth characteristics. But even though we saw these signs of recovery, they did not result in any yield recovery. If we look at a year like 2013, where we have excessive rainfall, cool conditions, and conditions that lead to slow plant growth rates, we see that there's a minimal impact of irrigation during squaring, mainly because it may have not been necessary in the majority of those weeks, just so much rainfall. And then looking at the treatment that applied more irrigation during squaring, we didn't see any increase in yield for this treatment, regardless of variety, despite having taller plants and greater noseville white flower in 2012. So looking at potential areas for future research, conducting a similar experiment in additional climates, and also looking at irrigation prior to first squares, so targeting just the vegetative stage. And then looking at a technique like prime acclimation, where we decrease but not eliminate irrigation during squaring. And then, of course, including additional varieties just to further determine the sensitivity and impact of maturity classes. With that, I'd like to thank Dr. Guy Collins, my advisor, and all of my co-authors for all of their help and assistance on the project. I also want to thank Mr. Chandler Rowe, Mr. Matthew Edwards, and Mr. Annie Knowlton for their assistance season-long in data gathering and data analysis, and also the staff of Stripling Irrigation Research Park for their day-to-day maintenance and covering all the operations of the project, and the Georgia Cotton Commission for their funding of not just this project, but all of Dr. Collins' agronomic research that we do in his program. These are a few of the papers that were cited in this talk, and that will conclude my remarks, and I can take questions if we have time.
We have time. You have any questions?
So the question was, do we have any soil moisture from these plots? We don't from these plots. We did have a study that also was in this exact same field, just down, that had soil moisture sensors, and we also took soil moisture measurements. We haven't related those back to this study yet, though.
there any other questions? Thank you, sir.